Past players, past legends, past legends.
Didn't think either of them would pick me up, even though they were telling me some pretty strong things. Maybe it was just a case of, you know, you just don't want to open up your heart to the possibility of it again.
Mm.
In a protection way, but I honestly didn't think they would. And then also there was part of me that was like, kind of hope the Crows pick me up to, you know,
to shove it up
to show Port Adelaide.
That's fair enough.
In a weird way, but not with any, you know, significant malice or thought about it. To be honest.
Not at all. I mean, you obviously want to play your best against the team that you may have had an opportunity to play against. A bit like I'm assuming that, as Malcolm was just about to mention there, that you then got picked up by the Crows. But we're skipping over the 99 grand final very, very quickly here, mate.
I think we should talk about that in depth.
All right, well, let's go for it. Before we get to you going to Adelaide, but obviously an opportunity there that you got to play with the Crows. But we'll go back to 99, mate. What are your thoughts there, mate?
With the Crows?
Oh, Port, with the grand final first. Yeah. Come on, as a Nord people, we've got to get that in. Come on, mate.
Well, personally, it wasn't one of my best games, but it was a great game by the rest of the boys. It was an amazing game, wasn't it? I mean, it was tight the whole way. Definitely thought you guys, or when I say you guys, Norwood, I definitely thought Norwood had it. I finished the game on the bench. I remember, as you would well and truly, Phil McGuinness kicking that goal.
Yes, and the Roger James kick and the bloody spoil by Tom Carr. That was the crucial one.
Yeah. Well, Tommy's still a great mate of mine who comes to the gym. I see him regularly, and he did a couple of crucial plays in both 98 and 99, which he reminds us all about still. That was incredible. It was an incredible game.
It was a great game. Just a shocking result, but it was a great game.
That's why I was skipping over it just gently.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, I was also doing something else in the background. I probably wasn't concentrating as much as I should have been then as a Nord man to effectively blink over that. Yeah.
No, we've got to talk about the successes there and your success, obviously, in the 99 grand final, which was your third premiership. Premierships are hard to come by, but 3 in 4 years is not a bad effort.
Yeah, it's one of those things you kind of, I didn't take them for granted because I had those couple of years missed with injury, and so I wasn't taking any football for granted at that stage. But to look back, and I think at that stage I had 3 premierships in like 52 games or 54 games, which is just ridiculous when you think about it. I mean, how spoiled. And Tony Bamford, who I came through with the under-18s state coach, He had 3 in like less than 50 games. Yeah. It's crazy. We're pretty spoiled. Yeah. And in my head, how's this for arrogance? I thought, oh, I'm going to play till I get to 5 and then I'll retire, really.
Timmy G might mention 7 and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
I know.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. You're playing with all these guys that are, oh, how many you got? Oh, I've only got 3. I got 7. I got 9. I got,
It's ridiculous. Insane.
Unbelievable.
And then in between that period, obviously 98, you get picked up by the Crows. That's, again, we'll circle back to that. That's a big tick for you.
Yeah, I'd really, for third time drafted, to be technically honest, which is, it's probably not a lot of blokes get 3 times drafted, whether that's a goal you want to go for. I thought my time was done playing AFL. I didn't think I'd get the opportunity. So that was awesome when that happened. And play for the Crows was really cool too, because just, you know, being able to stay home and still be able to have that connection to Port as well back in those times.
It
felt good. It definitely had its challenges. So I can remember thinking naively, this will be awesome. The Crows people will love me and the Port people will love me, but quite learnt that hate's a bit stronger than love, and it tended to go a bit more the other way.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, though, at least though you still, for mine, got the best of both worlds. I certainly know some players very frustrated having to go and play for the Crows reserve side, where they said, well, you know, it's not, it's just not the same, and they'd much rather be at their local real club.
I think it would be, it'd be really tough if you came through the SANFL system.
Yes. Yeah.
And then went and played for the Crows reserves or something like that.
I know Mitch Griggs. I know Mitch Griggs certainly found it really hard, and that as well. And Anthony Wilson when he got picked up. Yeah, it's different. Now, Binks, your time at Adelaide, you sort of fluctuated. You never really got given a consistent run. Your games tallies always varied around the 11 or so games each year. You did play in the famous final against Melbourne, which was one of the most ridiculous games, where Adelaide are 40 points up at quarter time. 2 minutes before three quarter time, Melbourne are 29 points up. And then Adelaide run over the top. You did kick a couple of goals, kick one lovely goal. I did watch the highlights this morning in that game. And it was that one of the most sort of rewarding but bizarre games you played in as well?
Yeah, again, I don't have very good recall of football games. I don't watch much. I didn't used to watch much of my stuff. And that was kind of a confidence thing. The more I watched myself, the more I get down on myself. My recall on games and all that sort of stuff is usually just comes more from conversations with other people. And at the time, again, I'll be honest with you guys in this interview. I was out of footy. I was done. I was pretty cooked, and that was my a bit of a finale. I knew I was going to finish up that year.
Right.
Mentally, I was really burnt out.
Yep.
Yeah. Mentally, I was pretty burnt, and physically, I was just kind of just hanging on to be honest. But I'm very, very proud of that game. You know, kicking a couple of goals in the finals, and nice thing to sort of have on the resume, so to speak.
Oh, and then the next week, the Crows are pretty unlucky. They were up against Collingwood, and Cloke belted Tyson Edwards, which Tyson was probably BOG at that time, and that really changed the game. And look, if he actually had a send-off rule on that one, he would have been, in terms of that. He could justifiably got 3-game suspension after that.
Yeah.
And McLeod hurt his ankle. So Adelaide, you weren't far away from playing in a grand final, Binks.
No, I know. And we had a pretty good record against Brisbane at that time too.
Yeah.
So who knows what could have happened.
Is it a case of the AFL footy at that stage? You sort of said that you were done. Is it the AFL football was going through that evolution of completely sort of semi-professional to completely professional in a very short space of time?
Yeah, I didn't mind part of that. I didn't like when it's, you know, it's so different to the kids coming up now, because they just got to, you know, this is all they know. But for me personally, football was always that outlet on the weekend.
Yeah, so I was going to say that with your personality, I reckon you would have been more suited to working still, doing a job, and footy would have been better for your football than your footy being.
Absolutely. And that's what when it became the other way, that it really what's the word? It's almost like you're cannibalize yourself. I don't know if that's the right term, but you know, you sort of chew yourself up and you're like, who the hell am I? I studied a lot through my footy days, but even during those days, you couldn't do the online stuff, so you were a bit
hamstrung as well, yeah.
Yeah, a bit hamstrung with what you could study and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think more of that than the professionalism of it. That and going through those years of just missing through injuries, and I suppose probably getting your hopes up and putting all your effort into it, getting knocked back, coming up again, getting injured. You know, it just I almost felt like I was worn out by the time I got there.
So what were you studying then, Binks, at that time?
I did commerce.
Yeah, I thought you
commerce straight out of school, and then I did. While I was playing, I did.
So, did you have Chocker still lecturing you then?
Yeah, I did. In the accounting stuff. So, and then I did an advanced diploma in IT, and then I did a diploma of financial planning and some, you know, like the multimedia stuff that we used to do back in those days. Right. So, a bit of that sort of stuff, yeah.
I might have helped mark one of your exams at one stage. We'll leave that alone. Really? Off this. Yeah, I might tell you a bit more of that off here. Yeah, so from there, and you just said, so you're more mentally, you're a bit both physically and mentally cooked at the end of that, Binks?
Yeah.
At the end of 202?
Yeah. definitely.
And what did you do with footy straight away after that?
Well, I was done, and I was sitting on about 90 games, give or take, for Port. And I had a conversation with my dad, and he said, "Oh, I think you'll regret it if you don't go back and get the 100.
Yep.
And I felt the same way, but I really was, and it was like it felt like a real chore. It sounds bad, but I felt like a real chore to actually go back. And I mean, the club was great to me. I didn't have to have the demands of pre-season that, you know, I've had in the past few years, but my heart probably wasn't fully there to start with. I didn't play great footy at the start of the year, but then I started falling in love back with just being with my good mates. Yeah. And back at Port, and the second half of my year was quite decent as it was as a club. But we finished fifth that year, which was the only year that they had the top four. We were doing pretty well at the end of the year, but we ended up missing out on the final. So that wasn't that still left a sour taste in our mouth. But so that was ended up being my last year.
Who was your coach in 2003?
That was Steve Williams, still coaching.
Yeah.
Man.
Yep. Yeah. Now, a question.
Last year.
We're going to go to an area here because Jake Bushell, one of our regular listeners, has sent through a couple of things. Because you actually know Jake as well.
I do.
So talk about your time in the Hampden League, where you coached South Warrnambool to a premiership in 2006. You were captain coach.
Yep.
And also the season where Jason Heatley coached Warrnambool, Brad Scholl, Port Fairy, Jason Misford coaching Koroit. All playing coaches, huge standard. And then he also, we'll come back to that because he's got a couple more questions there as well, Bushy, which probably won't surprise you. So go on that side of things there.
So the end of that year at Port, said might end up being my last year with Port. I didn't know what I wanted to do career-wise. I'd really lost, without getting too dark and gloomy about it, but I didn't know what I wasn't passionate about anything. So I was kind of at a bit of crossroads. And there was a few coaching opportunities came up, and one of them being over at South with South Warrnambool in Warrnambool. And I always liked Warrnambool. I had been through there a few times, and just, I don't know, something about it.
Yeah, I reckon that's fair. Yep.
Yeah, just a nice place. And, you know, having grown up in Port Augusta, I really wanted to get back and connect with a local community. So I went over there, had no desire to coach, but it was a doorway.
Yep.
So to speak. And then I fell in love with coaching after about 3 or 4 months of it. Was way out of my depth, I think, to start with, to be honest, because, you know, going in and, you know, it's not something that, I hadn't given any thought to coaching. It was not something I ever wanted to do. So, yeah, you're just making it up as you go along, and then start to get a bit more serious about it and learn a few things. We, as a playing coach, was tough because you go into you know, a town where you don't know anyone. It's a decent standard of footy over there. It's a very strong footy league. It's a tough footy league.
Yep.
The team I coached was a very young team. The Warrnambool teams tended to be young, and then the satellite towns, your Koroits and your Camperdowns there, they tend to be more, you know, 26, 27, 28, 30-year-old, thick-set dairy farmers.
Yep.
So pretty physical footy. But yeah, you go in, and as a playing coach, if anyone that's been a playing coach before, you need someone good sitting on your bench, and someone that you can trust and all that sort of stuff. So to build a relationship and to try to identify the right person to be able to do that, I found that pretty tough.
Yep.
To start with, you know, you just got to have trust in other people. What else can I tell you about that?
Well, the other question's from Jake. He's asking who's the best player you played with at South. He admits he loved Troy Dixon, a captain and a, you know, hard nut side of things. But yeah, your thoughts there?
Yeah, actually, Dicko just popped in my head the other day for some reason. He's one of those guys that just gave his everything on the field, and he was a bulldog. And you know, he wasn't overly blessed with amazing skills, but geez, he made it happen. He was one of those guys, just a really good solid country footballer. Probably could have done some damage at SANFL level as well.
Yep. And the other,
a couple of the big names over there is a guy by the name of Stephen Shorty Anderson, who played a bit of VFL.
Yeah, I've heard that name. Yep.
St Kilda, I think it was. St Kilda.
Yeah, I heard the name.
But played 300 and 350 games. in for South Warrnambool. Played the first year with me, and then the second year retired, and then we got him to come back and play another year, and he ended up getting best on ground in our premiership. So he's at 38 or whatever he was. So he's that sort of bloke.
Certainly take that. And the other question from Jake is the best player seen at Hampden level, and he also asks how did Misford not play AFL footy? It's his other question.
Okay, who's the best player? I mean, I think to be honest, at the time when I was there, because the guys that were probably the best footballers that I saw were more, you know, towards the middle and end of their careers. But
yep.
Some of the kids coming through, you know, yeah, Gary Rowan was coming through and Ben Cunnington was coming through and Jordan Lewis and some of those guys that are
some fair names.
Phenomenal players. Yeah, but I only really got to see him at 16 or 17. Yeah. So, test him out. So, Joey McLaren, and he'd come back from St Kilda. His brother, Chris McLaren, they were excellent footballers for Koroit. Matty Sharma for Terang, from memory. Jesus, test him out. Yeah.
No, that's all right. So, So after your time at Warrnambool, was it? Where'd you go for? Was it Port Reserves after that? Where did you go after that, Banks?
Yeah, so I came back to my first son was born, and so it was time to come back to Adelaide. So I actually went back and I was still playing footy at the time, and I came back and played a year at Spock.
Yeah, I remember
They'd been in touch and were keen to get back and be involved, and I needed to reconnect with some community, I guess.
Yep.
Network and all that sort of stuff. So came back and played a year with Spock, and that ended up being my last year of footy. So did that for a year. Then Nathan Bassett, who I'd been mates with for a fair while, was appointed coach at Norwood, and he knocked on the door to come and give him a hand at Norwood.
Yeah, and you did well, Banks, but unfortunately...
I said no first.
Okay, that would have been an interesting conversation.
Yeah, well, how did you go from a no to a yes then? Because that's probably the story here.
Well, I didn't want to coach. I was actually trying to get out of footy. I was just it's funny. It's those one of those things. It's like once you're in it, it's hard to get away from it. So I said no, but there was a part of me that really intrigued me because I always thought Nathan would be the of anyone I play with. I thought he'd make the best coach. So I was interested to be able to see how he went about it. So that always intrigued me. And also, you know, flattering for him to ask me to. I think I basically said, you know, I don't want to do it, but if you give me twice, double the money, I will.
Jeez, I'm buggered how you managed to get that passed at Nord at the time. Yeah, well done.
I know.
Well done. And So what year was that, Binks? I'm trying to remember my years. So
2010, I reckon.
Yeah, and we lost the grand final.
Yep. It was Nick Dygan took the goal in the prelim, I think.
It was
in the prelim to get us in.
Yeah, no, it's at the league level, but I'm talking about the reserves. So coaching the reserves, didn't we lose?
Oh, sorry, we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did. And somehow, geez, you've got an amazing recall. Somehow we've kicked about 6 points in the last quarter. Yeah. Like we should have. It was one of those games where we kicked 7-18 or something to, you know, 8 goals or 9 goals, 5. I don't know, something stupid like that.
I do remember too. Got back to the Premier's bar and you went, I want to see you now. And I'm thinking, geez, what have I done wrong?
What have
I
you
wasn't,
said?
Yeah, I wasn't standing anywhere near the bench. I'm thinking of that. And you've then asked my opinion on something and I've replied, bloody oath, yes. And you've gone, good, I value your opinion, Malcolm. And that was the end of that conversation. With Edith. And I don't even think I said, bugger talking about the grand final. We blew it. We kicked so many freaking points. Let's talk about something. I think we started talking about what the cricket season coming up, what you were doing with work. We just talked about anything other than the grand final, you know.
Best way to get over a grand final loss, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So after that, Binks was
well, how many years were you at Norwood as reserves coach?
Yeah, so two years at Norwood. Yeah. And then I mentioned him before, Tony Bamford, who's been a old teammate of mine and a long time friend. So he was coaching the Maggies at the time, and he inquired whether I'd be interested in coming down there and helping him out. And I thought it was time. I was surprised how hard I found it coaching against Port.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the contrarian factor of the dichotomy or whatever you want to call it of being a Port boy coaching at Norwood against Port. It's kind of, you know, weird.
Yeah.
I did find it a bit tough.
Yeah.
And so I thought it'd be nice to go and coach there and get back. And I always felt like I left Port too young, and one of my roles is, you know, you're coming through and the senior guys, it's such an important role to, I think, pass that culture along and pass those lessons of what it means to be a Port player. And I think myself, and there might have been a few others as well, that we probably left the club a little bit too early and didn't pass that on.
Yep.
So that was just something that sort of sat with me. And
I respect that.
To go back and coach was, probably able to do that on some level. But Port were in an interesting place at that time. It was increasingly obvious that, they were a team that were maybe the others didn't want to carry anymore, so to speak.
Yeah. Time was almost coming to a close.
Fractured relationships between the AFL and the SNFL.
And between Port Power and Port Magpies as well. Let's not forget that back then that was two totally separate clubs. And that's another topic in itself, you know, where I still think it's two separate clubs, but so be it.
I unfortunately feel the same way. I think with time that will change. We're just, there's few of us from that generation that kind of just caught in a, I think the guys before, a lot of the guys before me don't feel that way. And a lot of guys, after is different, but there's guys that were kind of caught up in the middle of it that feel a little bit lost as far as that's concerned.
Yeah. And Steve Summerton was openly one of those.
Absolutely.
And that side of things. Now, Binks, something which we really want to cover here, because it's something very close to your heart, your whole work side of things, the Carmody performance wellbeing, and go over there what you do with that, Banks, and fill us in.
Yeah, so we've got there's two parts of the business. So there's Carmody Performance and Wellbeing. So I started that. I started that in Warrnambool and brought it back here. So that's been going for 20 years now. That's
a fair effort.
Yeah, I think so. It's either stupidity and stubbornness, or it's a good effort. But yeah, so when you look around and there's fitness places everywhere, but they're being born and they're dying just as quick. So, and every business is as well. So to be a survivor in that place, I'm very proud of. And we're at a place now we're going to revamp and reinvent ourselves a little bit. COVID was not nice for us.
Yep.
And then the other arm, which I've got into in more recent years, we call the Nth Degree. And the Nth Degree is that's for young athletes coming through. So we work predominantly with sort of 11, 12-year-olds through to 18-plus. Kids that want to potentially play AFL or NBL or high-level soccer or, whatever it is. So working on all the aspects of getting them ready for the journey.
Have you had any prominent names come through there and that side of it?
Well, we just had a couple of girls in the Olympics. So,
yeah, that's what I was going to ask. That's where I was hinting at. So
Izzy Borlase.
Yeah, I thought Izzy was. Yeah, yeah.
And, she's just had a phenomenal rise in the last few years. And it got an amazing pedigree, but that doesn't do the job.
No.
So a girl by the name of Hattie Shand, who represented the women's hockey over there as well. So she's been in the Australian team, I think, for probably the last couple of years now. So a couple of Olympians, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. No.
Very exciting.
Big tick there.
So you look back and, you work with some of these. So Izzy first came on board. I think she was maybe 14, and we were with her from 14 through to about 17 or so.
Yep.
That's all she wanted. That was her dream at that stage.
Pretty focused. To see it come into
reality that's remarkable. It's pretty cool.
There's something here you might get a quick giggle out of where you live. I did call in to Mick Kenny from Adelaide Uni, and I've acted really serious, and I've gone, got some bad news for you, Mick. He's gone, what, Robert? What? I said, you're no longer the best footballer living on this street. And he said, yeah, who is? He said, I said, Barry Robren. And he goes, well, that's fair. I'll take that. And I said, by the way, you're not second either. And he goes, who's second? I said, well, that's Brian Binky's house just over there. And Mick went, I'll quite happily take the bronze. So, yeah. So,
well, I'm probably a fair way below Barry Robson.
Yeah, say, I think all of us yeah, I think you can.
I was going to say, I'm not alone there.
No, I'd quite happily take the silver living on the same road as Barry, mate. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, summing up, yeah, as I said, you're a deep thinker in life, probably both for benefit and disadvantage at times there, Binks, yourself. But, yeah, so summing up, you know, your thoughts overall and your best players played with and against that side of things, Binks?
Yeah. Just on that deep one, I'm deep and shallow, I think, so I don't like the middle area. I could definitely be shallow sometimes, if anyone closer than me would probably say. Best players?
Yeah, best players played with you and against.
Pick a couple,
go
mate.
Go for wherever you like.
Yep.
Yeah, with. So, I don't know. I tend to go for the unheralded ones.
Ah, that's good.
You mentioned Tyson Edwards before. Like, I mean, he was as consistent as they came. And
yep.
He was such a, especially as a forward, like he was just a beautiful deliverer of the ball.
Yep.
Kane Johnson was the same. So
Sugar was good. Yep.
Yeah, I thought he's kind of forgotten about a little bit. But he's just his smarts on the ground. And he was just calm. Andrew McLeod's obviously phenomenal.
Yep.
From the ones... The stronger memories are the ones, I suppose, you come through as a teenager that you remember those sort of guys. So Scott Hodges was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Wayne Carey, obviously, fantastic.
Yeah.
Who else have we got? There's so many. There's
hardest so many opponent then, Binks?
Hardest opponent?
Yep. Yeah, maybe SNFL and AFL. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Here's where that deep thinking comes into play. Like playing against Essendon when Essendon were a decent, a very decent side, had a good midfield, and you're standing, I'm just under 6'1", and I'm standing Dustin Fletcher, who's a prime mover at about, I don't know what he is, 6'6", let's say.
Yeah, around there. Yeah.
And the ball's coming in, under a fair bit of pressure, so that was pretty tough.
Yeah.
He could just sit off me and pick it off. So him... I found Mal Michael was a very solid player. Stephen Paxman was just as dour as they come.
Yep.
And knew all the tricks. SNFL level, Andrew Rogers at the end of his career was
good player. Smart,
cunning sort of player.
Yeah, I think that's a good description. Yep.
Yep. There's a guy that played, I can't remember his name, but we used to have some decent stoushes. Paul Sherwood played at Glenelg.
Glenelg, yeah.
Yeah, he was a solid player. And Eagles was I can't remember his name. Anyway.
It's all good. Mate, we'll get you out of here on this one. Give your business a bit of a plug there, mate.
Give us a
All right, so Carmody Performance and Wellbeing. So that's for we predominantly work with 30, 35 year old plus people that
I'm glad like that you added themselves. The plus
like to keep himself moving well not just looking good in some nice clothes but just feeling better in the body and feeling better about themselves and
can you give me a whole new body then Mix
positive people we'll give it a shot and then the nth degree so as I mentioned before so pretty much 12 to 18 year old young athletes coming through that want to perform at the highest level.
Hey, Binks, greatly appreciated. I will get you to hold on just for a second as we go off. So, look, greatly appreciate your time. Look forward to catching up as well. And all the best. Thanks, Binks.
Likewise. Thank you, mate.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe.